This is Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable, an in-depth analysis and commentary on the stories making headlines in Pennsylvania this week. Each week, Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable examines issues that affect you, your family, and your community. And now, from the Harrisburg studios of the Radio Pennsylvania Network, here's your host, Brad Christman.
Welcome to Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable for this weekend of December 16th and 17th, 2017. It's a special edition this week as we bring you excerpts from State Budget Secretary Randy Albright's mid-year budget briefing. Now, this is an annual tradition in Harrisburg where the budget secretary briefs reporters on how the fiscal year is progressing, what the economic outlook is, and how the next year's budget might be shaping up. Governor Tom Wolf will deliver his fourth budget address in February to kick off the next budget season. But for now, here's how Randy Albright sees the state's current financial status.
Let me first wish everyone a wonderful holiday. I hope you all get some well-deserved time at home with friends and family over the course of the next couple weeks, and certainly wish you all the best. So before I say anything else, let me simply say from an overall perspective, you've heard me in the past couple years provide some a lot of caution, concern about the fiscal position of the Commonwealth. Let me say, after now three budgets put behind us and after the work, belated as it may have been, but after the completion of all of the final budget-related bills, that were part of this year's budget process and the work that we did to reduce the overall cost of the general fund spend that I'll talk in much more detail in a few minutes about. As we sit here today, in our view, the Commonwealth is in the best fiscal position it's been in since the Great Recession. We have struggled for nearly a decade with chronic budget problems, budget shortfalls, structural budget deficits that have been papered over with one-time solutions. I don't want to overstate our fiscal health. We still have additional work to do in that respect. But without any caution or concern, I would express to you today that I think the Commonwealth's fiscal health has improved significantly since I stood before you last year and gave this mid-year address. To start, just with the numbers on where we are with the current budget that has now been put in place for the current fiscal year, our total general fund spend now is just below $32 billion. That's only a $54 million, or almost unprecedented, 0.17% increase above the prior year spend. Now, how is that possible? And what made that possible was more than $2 billion in cuts and savings that were part of that final general fund agreement that was reached at the end of June and became law in early July. Even with that restrained increase in spend, we were able to provide $190 million in new education investments, continuing the governor's commitment to grow the state's role in supporting local school districts and making key investments. We were able to provide modest, if you will, waiting list initiatives for child care and ID, intellectual disabilities, and autism. Reduce, not eliminate. There's still work to be done in both areas, but again, progress. Continued our investments in our efforts to fight the opioid epidemic that is still plaguing our Commonwealth and is certainly an issue throughout the country that we have ongoing work to do. And funding several initiatives relating to growing manufacturing investment and jobs here in the Commonwealth. We created, finally, after a couple years of effort, in concert with the General Assembly, a manufacturing PA initiative, a line item for $12 million. We are putting into effect in this current year a new manufacturing tax credit that totals $5 million in two components, including money that's earmarked for rural areas of the Commonwealth, and additional funds for apprenticeship training and targeted job training efforts to, again, grow manufacturing investment here in the Commonwealth. Now, here's a lot of numbers. And excuse me for providing a spreadsheet, if you will, that includes a number of fiscal years, but I thought it would be helpful to include the baseline of the budget that we inherited in the last year of the prior administration and now see how our general fund revenues and expenditures have grown over the course of the last three fiscal years. There are a couple important things that I'll draw your attention to. The first one on the negative side is at the bottom of the 16-17 fiscal year, a $1.5 billion budget shortfall. And I won't spend a lot of time this morning rehashing how the prior fiscal year turned out. We certainly missed our revenue forecast significantly. We had more than a $1 billion revenue shortfall beyond what we expected when we actually put the 16-17 proposed budget in place. We also had additional supplemental expenditures that totaled nearly $400 million to fully fund our 16-17 obligations. And so when we began work on the current year budget, not only did we have to address that structural budget challenge that has continued and plagued us again for the better part of the last decade, but now we also had to find the means to pay off that prior year deficit because we have to balance the budget at the end of each fiscal year. And so that $1.5 billion from last year that wasn't funded, we had to provide the means to fund in the current year. Happily, taking a look at the 17-18 column, you can see in the enacted budget at this point our forecast is not just that we will end the year in balance, but we actually think that we'll end the year with a modest surplus. That will be welcome news. I think that whether it's the $31.2 million that you see reflected here or something slightly more or less than that. The point is that as we stand or sit here today, we're very confident that given revenue collections, given our estimates and expectations about expenditures, that we don't see at this point the need for any supplemental appropriations. We think we will be able to fully fund all of the state's obligations throughout the fiscal year with the dollars that haven't been appropriated for all those programs. I'll talk about revenues in a little bit in more detail. But again, the important point here is that we expect to end the year in surplus. And maybe more importantly, if we hit the number target or something in proximity to it that you see here, there's a forecast almost $10.5 million transfer into the rainy day fund. And over the past decade, we have in just about every fiscal year suspended the language in the fiscal code that provides otherwise that 25% of any year-end budget surplus is transferred into the rainy day fund. The governor is very committed as we begin to put budgets together and implement them throughout this fiscal year and every year thereafter to begin growing a real rainy day fund balance. So I want to profess at this point that as we begin deliberations for the 18-19 fiscal year, as we begin to work with all of our colleagues in all four caucuses in the General Assembly, we will be very adamant that if we do end this fiscal year as we expect with the projected budget surplus, that we would expect to keep that rainy day fund transfer language in place, and we would expect to start rebuilding a real rainy day fund balance by the end of the 17-18 fiscal year.
Many years ago, that wouldn't really be huge news, but those are two big headlines right there right now. A surplus, and a deposit into the rainy day fund. We just haven't seen that for several years in Harrisburg. So what about these revenues Budget Secretary Randy Albright is talking about? We'll get into that when we return with more of Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable. I'm Brad Chrisman. This week, we're bringing you excerpts from State Budget Secretary Randy Albright's annual mid-year budget briefing, one that is slightly more upbeat than in recent years. Albright says the state is on track to finish the year with a small surplus, but the state is spending more. So what's been done to allow that while trending toward a surplus?
If you look at where our total spend is now, at almost $32 billion. And if you look at what we were actually spending in the general fund in the 14-15 fiscal year, $29.15 billion, that's about a $2.8 billion increase over 3 years. That averages out to about a 3.5% annual increase. But what I want to begin next to talk about are the components of that increase. Excuse me, 1.25% annual increase. The important thing I want to note here about that $2.8 billion increase over the course of the last three fiscal years is that nearly half of that increase, $1.4 billion, has simply been our commitment to ramp up and meet the full actuarially required contributions to our pension system. Why is that so important? Because for the better part of the last two decades, we haven't been paying our full actuarially required contribution. I am happy to stand here today and say from this point forward, this administration is committed to doing that. We have now built into our general fund budget the capacity to fully fund those obligations. We've continued to work with local school districts to provide and prioritize annual increases to those school districts so that they can meet their employer contributions as well. It wasn't easy. And as this points out, nearly half of the increase over the past 3 years has been devoted to simply meeting that obligation. But it is now, in our view, a huge accomplishment as we go forward. And you'll see a slide in a little bit as I work through these pages. That obligation will now level off. It will remain high for the next several years. However, we've now built in the capacity to fully fund that obligation going forward. Another $840 million of that increased spend has been the increase in education investments. Now, that includes the money that we provide to local school districts. That also includes increases for higher education. But again, a major portion of that increase over the past 3 years has been money that we are committed to continuing to provide for education investments that we believe will grow and improve the Commonwealth's future. So what that means is the remaining delta, the remaining difference of how much we're spending today versus how much we were spending in the last budget of the prior administration, that increase is less than $600 million, a less than 1% increase across all agencies, all Commonwealth programs. How's that possible? It was only possible because of the more than $2 billion savings. And I want to give credit and share credit with the General Assembly as well. This is something we did together. But the budget that we put in place for the current fiscal year identified more than $2 billion in cuts and savings. It managed down our complement. So today, our complement stands nearly 1,500 positions less than the number of employees that we had on the Commonwealth's payroll last year at this time. We have been able progressively to reduce our corrections population, and that decline in our corrections population has actually enabled us to close corrections facilities. Agency consolidations and restructuring have been a part of operations across the entire Commonwealth. We have consolidated HR and IT operations within six agency hubs to serve all Commonwealth agencies. We have now created operationally a Department of Criminal Justice to bring together the Department of Corrections and the Board of Probation and Parole to work cooperatively to reduce the costs of the administrative burden of their operations, but also to produce real operational and outcome efficiencies, if you will, in how we oversee our corrections population. We have managed down debt. And we have reduced debt obligations and the cost of debt service in this fiscal year through various means below where it was just 3 years ago. And finally, and maybe most importantly, we have taken major steps to bend that cost curve for medical assistance programs.
It's time for another break, but in segment three of the show, State Budget Secretary Randy Albright will talk about what that spending has accomplished, especially for education. You're listening to Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable. I'm Brad Chrisman. State Budget Secretary Randy Albright offered up his mid-year budget update this week, revealing that Pennsylvania is on track for a small surplus after several years of struggling to fill budget gaps and deficits. Spending has been up in the first 3 years of the Wolf administration, and Albright talked about what that money has bought us.
So what have those education investments done for us? For local school districts, as you see here in the graph, we have finally restored the $1 billion of cuts in the first year of the prior administration. We are finally happily able to say today that the direct classroom aid that we provide to local school districts now more significantly, as you see by the graph, surpasses the amount of aid that we were providing in the 10-11 fiscal year, the last year of the Rendell administration. That was 7 years ago. I understand we have a lot of continuing work to do, and we have to make, as we sit here and stand here today, a continuing commitment to continue to grow that support over the course of the next and future fiscal years. But we have finally gotten back to a point where we are now growing our basic education spend and making targeted investments, whether it's early learning, whether it's special education or other education priorities, commitments to local school districts to help them improve and provide more quality education. But that's not where it stops. You know, in addition to, and you see the details here in the more than $500 million for basic ed funding, the more than $90 million, and that's a 66% increase over where we were funding early learning programs when our administration began, the $75 million commitment for special education, the new dollars for early intervention. But we also enacted a fair funding formula. We did that, again, in concert with the General Assembly. Credit goes to them, shared with them. But we now have a funding formula in place that we believe over time, if we're able to identify the funds necessary to fully fund our obligations, that can create a more equitable funding system overall and hopefully begin with increased state support to address the issues of adequacy as we go forward. We have increased aid for PASHE in our state-related schools by another $94 million, a $16.4 million investment for our community colleges. And maybe most importantly, we're able to, with the help of some capital dollars, eliminate a large and growing backlog to fully fund school construction obligations for local school districts. For jobs that pay, we have already accomplished a major step forward in improving the business tax climate here in the Commonwealth by fully phasing out the capital stock and franchise tax. It's been a long effort. It took nearly two decades, something that was begun by then Governor Ridge, took several administrations to complete, but we are proud to say in our administration we have now accomplished, and we no longer have that distinction of having a capital stock and franchise tax as well as a corporate net income tax to significantly improve our business climate and our ability to attract and grow economic investment here in the Commonwealth. I mentioned already our manufacturing PA initiative, that new $12 million targeted appropriation in having our industrial resource centers work in concert with our major research institutions across the Commonwealth with targeted job training programs. Part of this initiative will hopefully be seed money to, again, continue to grow and improve manufacturing investment here. Our $4 million investment in new apprenticeship initiatives is part of that process. Permitting reform that was begun in DEP during the prior fiscal year will hopefully prioritize and enable us to do a better job working more efficiently to provide permitting oversight so that that does not become a deterrent for future business development. Again, also or similarly, we are in the process of continuing, as past administrations have, to do a better job of developing something closer to one-stop shops for businesses so they have a single point of contact or a gateway through our Department of Community and Economic Development, first and foremost, to understand and work with and receive state assistance where necessary. To help them in whatever their needs might be. And finally, we have just completed what I'd call a listening tour. We created a middle-class task force at the governor's direction and certainly working with Secretary Galbley and our policy team. We don't want to suppose we have all the answers. We don't want to always presume that we know what the right things to do and invest in are for our Commonwealth. And so the idea of that listening tour over the fall was to spend some time and get some direction from the community to guide us as we make future decisions, how to invest and make critical investments to grow Commonwealth employment, and to do a better job of simply providing state services and opportunities to better serve our middle-class families. And so that work will now translate into policy recommendations and plans as we go forward. But again, it's helped us give direction or provide direction to us to make future state investments.
A lot of information in the budget secretary's mid-year briefing, but again, the top headlines are there's going to be a small surplus, at least that's the way it's trending, and there could be money, should be money, going into the rainy day fund with the hopes that lawmakers will be able to reestablish their commitment to stick some money away in reserve funds. A reminder of the budget process, Governor Tom Wolf is scheduled to deliver his fourth budget address to lawmakers in early February. That will kick off weeks of budget hearings. Then lawmakers will work back and forth over the spring months, hopefully to get to a point in late June where we're ready to have an on-time budget. That hasn't been the way it's gone in recent years. We have better hopes for 2018. We're out of time for this edition of Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable. For all of us at the Radio PA Network in Harrisburg, I'm Brad Christman. Make it a great week.
The opinions and views expressed by the hosts and guests of Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable do not necessarily reflect those of Radio Pennsylvania or its parent company, WITF Incorporated. If you have a question or comment about this week's program, send your email to roundtable@radiopa.com. Please include your full name, city or town, and a brief question or comment. Anonymous emails will not be read on the air. Due to the high volume of listener email, not all correspondence can be answered personally or on the air. Tune in to this same station again next week for another edition of Radio Pennsylvania Roundtable.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.